Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What a Mickey Mouse show.
This is getting more and more embarrassing.
Negative rubbish. Not for me, Jeff.
On a Fulham tour that you actually ended up in hospital.
Sprinted back, shirt was off, I'm ready at the side of the pitch, like, just get me on.
What is a drunk tank?
It was a dream come true, you know.
My opinion on it is you don't give up on your country, let your country give up on you.
I think I was going to cancel my wedding.
Cubby, do you fancy it? Yeah, go on.
I've done it.
I've never been for Harry Kane to be England captain.
Who are you?
Hiding
behind his jumper. Ben White has let the nation down.
Gates of hell.
Unbelievable!
Happy as Gary.
Hello and welcome to episode 10 of the Sun's new football show, bringing you a fan-focused look at our beautiful game. I'm Will Pugh.
I'm Izzy Barker and this is Sun Sports Tap In.
Oh yeah! Woohoo! You're on a tap.
We are all about the fans on the Tap In, but this week we're joined by someone who has been there, done it, got the T-shirt, working his way up the leagues and leaving a huge mark on English football, as well as a diehard England fan who knows Gareth Southgate's side inside and out.
That is right. One made his England debut against Ghana in 2011 and helped Wolves to a glittering run to seal in Premier League promotion in 2009, making a whopping 164 appearances for the club and not to mention looking absolutely ripped on the cover of Attitude magazine. The other made his debut drinking pints in the Wembley concourse for his first ever England game in 2014 and he's sung Three Lions in nearly every major European plaza, including when he got put in a drunk tank in Poland. It's former England West Ham Award midfielder Matt Jarvis and England superfan Dombey! Yeah!
And left. Jarvis! Yeah! A debut day goal for Matt Jarvis.
And finds Jarvis who finds the net and it's one each.
Gentlemen, absolute pleasure to have you on the Tap In, and I assure you, as I seem to have to do every week, that it's not just because they've let me have another former West Ham player on the sofa. To be fair, it definitely is because of that. But it's great to have you on. Matt, first, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Nice to be here.
Dom?
Buzzing, mate. International break.
So it is international break. This is where you really come into your own.
Yeah, it's where my personality really comes out. I sort of keep myself to myself during the domestic break, as I call it.
Yeah.
And then the international period is our fun.
I don't know if that's true, because I feel like, wasn't it on a Fulham tour that you actually ended up in hospital?
So I think it's just basically whenever I'm abroad. it just gets out of hand.
We'll get into why you got put in a drunk tank. What is a drunk tank? I don't suppose you've ever been in a drunk tank, mate.
Absolutely not. Of course not. But...
don't get abs like that, getting in drunk tanks.
We'll speak after.
Right, gents, we're a fan-first show on the Tap In. I did ask you who you supported before the show, Matt, and as you put it so well, you grew up in Guildford, so naturally you're a Manchester United fan. Dom, you're an England fan first, Fulham fan secondly. Last week we had Tony Cotty and Dave Schaal on, lots of furious feedback from West Ham and the Moyes out brigade after Tony Cotty warned us and everyone else to be careful what they wish for if they want David Moyes gone at West Ham. Lots of love for Dave Schaal, was there not, after his infamous roles in The Office and The Inbetweeners. But one comment in particular caught my attention last week.
It must
week.
Have been a really nice one,
wasn't
it?
Oh, I thought it was nice, yeah. No more grief for a change about me not wearing socks. I've been peer pressured into it this week. But from Iggy Pop 666, what a Mickey Mouse show full of so-called football pundits talking down to West Ham fans while they don't even watch us play, let alone pay money out their pockets to watch this negative rubbish. That's West Ham's football, not the Tap In. Come on, Cotty, grow some balls and back the fans. Moyes out. I would just like to point out, I've had a West Ham season ticket since I was 9 and they cost a fortune and I have to pay each and every week.
So, obviously, Matt, it's great to have you on the international break. Super exciting. And you represented England 13 years ago now under Fabio Capello. Sorry for reminding you.
Such an achievement.
obviously, the likes of Theo Walcott, James Milner in around the fray at the time, but just to put it into words, how much did it mean to you and what did it feel like getting that call up?
It's such a cliche, but it was a dream come true. You know, as a kid, that's the only thing you ever dream of is playing football, and then to represent your country and to, you know, seeing that picture, it does bring back unbelievable memories. As you say, I was at Wolves at the time. We were sort of fighting relegation. So to be picked in the England team with, like you say, the players that were ahead of me, I suppose, or as wide players in that squad or even in the previous squads, they're all playing top six. So absolutely amazing. Yeah, the dream of playing for your country becomes a reality. And I remember being a substitute and the second half, I'm running up and down and you're looking back and you're just waiting for that call. And I saw it and I was like, is that me? And they were like, yeah. And I sprinted back, shirt was off, I'm ready at the side of the pitch, like, just get me on. And then just literally walking on the pitch and just thinking, I had a split second where I was like, I've done it. You know, I've played for my country. No one can take this away from me. And then you sort of snap back into the game. I managed to get a quick few touches, but absolute dream.
Amazing. Dom, was that before your England supporting career started? Because it is a career, isn't it?
Yeah, it was before my full-time.
Full-time
England supporting career. I said, when people often ask why I love watching England so much, I think a lot of it comes down to what your earliest football memories are. And mine are 5-1 against Germany, Beckham's free kick against Greece, Beckham's penalty against Argentina. And I think, you know, it might have been different when you're in the squad. I think you see it more now. When you watch in England, whether it's at home or abroad, you're watching it with people from all over the country. And it's, for example, when you go watch West Ham week in, week out, you're seeing the same people 38 weeks a year. Whereas I see my England mates on 5 occasions throughout the year in a major tournament.
Right, gents, there's been a lot of managerial merry-go-round talk recently. Jurgen Klopp obviously leaving Liverpool at the end of the season. Pep Guardiola does look like he's staying put. Tuchel leaving Bayern Munich. West Ham fans want Moyes out. There's loads going on. Xabi Alonso doing well at Bayer Leverkusen, of course. And the latest sort of chapter in that particular book is Gareth Southgate emerging as favourite to become Manchester United manager if Erik ten Hag gets sacked. Sir Jim Ratcliffe, since his takeover, has hardly been effusive in his praise of Ten Hag, making it quite clear that, you know, results need to improve or something needs to improve or you're out the door, pal. What do you make of that story generally, Matt, and the notion of Southgate potentially leaving England after the Euros and taking over at Old Trafford?
I think, you know, Southgate, as we mentioned earlier, about what he's achieved with England and the way he's gone about it, the general mood in the camp every time the players go there, they actually want to be there. There's that togetherness. And I think the media, he handles the media really well. But does that work in a club game? I think with the national team, you know, he handles the tournaments really well. You're there, you know, there's the 2-week gaps in or the training camps, and then you have a couple of friendlies or qualifiers, and then you have the tournament. It's going to be very different to being every day on the training pitch. But he's got that mentality that the players actually like. And I think that he understands all of the players and what they need and how he gets the best out of them. So he is a top manager, but it's whether that international manager can go to a club manager. And I think, you know, for Man United, it's who's going to be available and who's going to be able to do the best job that they can possibly hope for, that's going to get them back to where they want and need to be. And if that's not Ten Hag, then, you know, Southgate, is he a good candidate? He would be, off the back of potentially having a great tournament.
It does seem to me a little bit like to symbolise the drop in Man United's general stature. Like, Gareth Southgate, excellent international manager. It's the best job he's done in management on the international stage. And it just feels like if that's where Manchester United are looking, rather than some of the big superstar names that they've gone to turn to previously, that it says more about Man United than it does about Southgate. And obviously Southgate would be keen or certainly consider the job, depending on England's performance. But the fact that even he's not like, yeah, if Man United come calling, I'll take it, that tells you quite a bit as well.
Yeah, I just think from a Man United perspective, it might be a better route to go down instead of maybe looking at the glitz and glamour of maybe someone that's going to come with a big ego into that dressing room. I think maybe they need someone to kind of patch up that relationship potentially with the media, with the players, that sort of thing, because it does seem like there is a real problem with There has been so much toxicity at the club over the season, and to repair that, I think, would do a great deal for Man United. Do you think, Dom?
Yeah, but I think if you just look at the last 11 years since, or 10 years since Fergie left, it's been like whoever's gone there, and they've tried different routes. They've tried Moyes, who was doing well at Everton, pushing for European place every season. That didn't work. Then they've had sort of, as you said, the glitz and the glamour of Van Gaal. They've had Mourinho. Obviously, you've had Solskjaer come in. And so nothing's really worked. But I think it would be great if it worked for Southgate, that you've had all these managers come in, and then this manager who, although he's, as Matt said, been England's most successful manager in regard to just how he's done at tournaments, but has been given a lot of stick, especially if it'd be funny if he could then win the league title with Harry Maguire playing a key part, you know, taking them. But I said, I think Man United are in such a weird place right now, but maybe they need an appointment where they need to give the manager time, like Arsenal have done with Arteta. I know it's not quite the same thing as such, but they've given him time. They've let him get the players at the team he needs. And I think that's the biggest issue with Man United, is getting out the bad eggs instead of getting all these expensive world-class players in, is getting out the bad eggs out of that team. And that's what Arteta's done. If you look at the likes of Ozil, you look at the likes of Aubameyang, and then he's brought in his players and it seems to be working. So maybe Southgate could do the same at Manchester United.
You just feel like there isn't as much patience, is there, in the media and among the fans. I know, you know, Arsenal fans will be up in arms about this, but they're a slightly different level there, aren't they? I think there was a general, more of an understanding. I mean, Arsenal fans were still Arteta out for most of the first period.
They are, but I feel like they've...
No, at the first period.
But I feel like they've been going through a similar process. And I think Liverpool were in that process before they got Jurgen Klopp. Before Jurgen Klopp came in, they were in disarray.
I think there's the patience among Man United fans, all within the media, to let them have the lull that perhaps they might need, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think that the media definitely don't want them to have a period of time where everything's going swimmingly. I think that it's... You know, you just look at what Ten Hag's had to go through, I suppose, since he's first taken over the job. There's been so many different things that is not really stuff that he's been able to control. It's outside and it's all done from the media. So he's done a lot in his short spell at Man United. So whoever comes in, if it stays him or if it's someone else like Southgate, they have to be able to handle the outside influence, which is the media, which is the everyone else against Man United. But as you quite rightly said, there's a lot that needs to go on inside the football club as well. And I think that's actually already started. Mm. And I think that's already started with regards to training ground, with regards to stadium as well, which has been mentioned a lot.
What do you reckon, Don, then? Does Southgate have what it takes to take on the Manchester United job with what you've seen of him in England?
The way it looks at the moment, I don't think anyone's got what it takes to get on the Man United job. But I think... I think Southgate, in regard to not maybe the tactical football side of things, but in regard to dealing with players, in regard to dealing with the media, I think Southgate's done that with England, and I think that was something that would stand him in great stead for Manchester United job. And I think I don't want Manchester United winning titles ruining my childhood like they did, but I think English football fans, English football should want Man United to be back at the top competing for titles, because they are. We don't want them winning it every, but we want them competing, because they're the biggest team in the country. They're up there. They're just below your Real Madrid and Barcelona's. And I think we should want England's most historic and best teams to be at the top competing, because it only makes the English game look better.
Get out of here. What are you talking about? Who the hell wants Man United to do well?
You don't want Man United sitting in 7th and 8th every season.
You've got Guilford president of the Guilford Man United.
It's
different now.
But them to be competing at the top, I think, still a good thing, just in regard to what it brings to the Premier League.
Not so sure about that. Give me another Leicester season any day of the week, is he?
Yeah, we're Fulham fans, Don. What are you talking about?
I said I want them to win the league. I said I want them to compete at the top of it, because I think them lingering in 7th and 8th, you've seen what it's like with Liverpool being back at the top. As much as I dislike Liverpool, it's been good to have them back at the top competing.
I'm not having it.
I'm with you.
It's not even the honour off target bit, but that is off target.
Obviously, keeping with the England theme, we can't ignore the fact that Kobbie Mainoo is on all of the back pages. A Man United whiz kid getting called up into Gareth Southgate's squad. You must think this is an exciting, you know, move in the right direction to have Kobbie Mainoo called up. What do you think?
For me, I think that he's played his way into that squad because of his performances for Man United. He's been nothing short of brilliant, you know, since he's got in the team, for such a young player, for the way that Man United are playing at the moment and is a bit up and down, he's been that constant that he can do everything, you know, and for such a young player, you know, the experience that he's already got, I don't think he's going to be fazed by being called up for England. I don't think he'll be fazed if he was in the tournament. And I think that the display against Liverpool especially has just shown that actually he does deserve to go into the first team. You know, he was called up for the 21s, but he's by far good enough. And if you're good enough, you should be in. And he's proved that.
He did feel a little bit like he was just round the corner at St George's Park. Yeah. So Gareth Southgate's like, oh, I can't be bothered to get someone in from the Midlands or whatever. Cobby, do you fancy it? Yeah, yeah, go on then, yeah. Did you, Matt, in your career then, either at international level or at club level in the Premier League, did you ever play with a youngster who burst through, a sort of a teenager, a lot younger than lots of the other first-team pros whose talent was just glaringly obvious from an early level, who you're all like, whoa?
I think, yeah, the only sort of one that I would just off the top of my head think about now was when James Maddison came to Norwich. He was he signed from Coventry, but he was one of them they signed and went back. But he come in for training and he was only young then, and he was just the ability and the confidence that he had. I think that's another thing that he's obviously shown. He's backed it all up now.
Certainly not shy of that now, is
absolutely.
He?
But I suppose you need that. And he was, you know, he come into the change room. We had quite an experienced dressing room at that time, you know, and there's a lot of older players that have been there and done it, and he's come and sat right next to them. He was involved in all the chat, and this was when he was probably 16 17. And then you go out on the training pitch, you're like, right, here we go, and someone fired the ball into him and he had a good touch, you're like, okay. Yeah. And then your next one, you fired it in again, he just turned and you're like, okay, this kid's got and then
off.
Obviously he went back to Coventry and he come back the following year and he hit the ground running.
Right, this is on or off target, Matt. You've got 60 seconds to tell us about the thing you hate the most about football and why Will and I should feel exactly the same way. Then afterwards, we will tell you whether it was on or off target.
So, what I'm going to say is every single person that gets called up for their country, their first cap, should be called by the manager. I think it is vitally important. That is something that has to be changed. I think Gareth Southgate does it now, but when I was playing, I got called up. Fabio Capello was the manager. I got called up by a text message by the FA. I think I've known stories that people have thought they've been called up by other players messaging them and saying that they've been called up. And it, you know, for your debut for your country, finding out by text message, which is potentially someone else messaging you and it's not right, then getting a call from someone at the FA, I think you should definitely get a call by the manager. It's an honour to be called up for your country, and that is why you should be called by the manager for your first England call-up.
Oh! I am going for on target with Matt. I remember my first England call-up well, and that emotional phone call from the manager. No, I totally agree. It must be a super special moment, and you really want to hear firsthand from the manager and really kind of embrace and enjoy that moment.
Oh!
On target for me, when you receive the greatest news of your life. You've dreamed of playing for England since you were a kid, and all you get is a little WhatsApp. Not for me, Jeff. Right, gentlemen, this is the top or terrible take section, and I've sort of given up on trying to convince our guests that the creative geniuses who think of the specific titles to this section are actually creative geniuses. What we do, basically, we crassly twist the name of the manager of the team you support, in this case it's International Week, so it's England, into a couple of puns which are supposed to loosely resemble like top or terrible take. But I'll let you decide whether you're impressed or not. So, gentlemen, I would love and I'm delighted to introduce you to Happy as Gary or Gates of Hell. quite a simple concept. We're going to give you three takes about England, and if you think they are good, you'll say that is a Happy as Gary take. If you think it's a terrible take, you'll call it a Gates of Hell take. This is getting more and more embarrassing.
We had Tony Cotty. Yeah, we had Tony Cotty saying, "Oh my Daves."
Oh my Daves for David Moyes and Moy Bien. Yeah, these are really getting worse and worse as the weeks go on. So, are you ready? Do you understand the concept?
Oh, yes.
Right. England have got an absolutely superb set of attacking players, some of the most gifted forward superstars in world football. Yet Gareth Southgate is still labelled as a pragmatic, conservative manager. Oh, so many calls for him to just go all-out attack. Gung-ho football is what lots of football fans want to see. It's not always proven to work particularly well, but those are the two things that are fired at Southgate, given those two huge games that England fans really felt let down by his lack of ability to make any changes. Of course, the Euros final and the World Cup semi. So the take is England will never win a trophy under Gareth Southgate because he is wasting all the exciting attacking talent for a conservative defensive approach. Matt Jarvis, you first of all. Happy as Gary or Gates of Hell?
Go on.
Do I have time to explain?
Yeah, of course.
I think this is why he's a fantastic international tournament manager. I think the way that you set up and the way that you play in a tournament is very different to club football. Yes, the criticism is that you have all of these unbelievable players and just throw them all out and, you know, it'll be 5-0. But it doesn't quite work that in a tournament. So I do believe that we have the players and the attacking players, yes, to win the tournament. So I'm...
You're going to have to say
I know you're starting to step up for it.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. So I believe Gates of Hell purely and simply because of international football and the way that the tournament is set up.
Dom?
Totally agree.
Whoa.
Yes.
What do you mean totally agree? That wasn't on the screen. Yeah. Mate. As happy as Gary and Gates of Hell.
Oh yeah, okay. Gates of Hell. I totally agree with what Matt said because the reason why we haven't done what we've done in tournaments isn't down to the fact we haven't been attacking. It's down to the fact our players can't take penalties. we beat Italy in the penalty shootout, and Harry Kane scores against France. We go on to beat France. We go on to beat Morocco in the semi-finals. We go on to beat Argentina in the final. So yeah, agree with Matt totally. Gates of Hell.
SunSport's understanding this week is that Gareth Southgate is open to staying on. Big back page story, of course, that he's now the favourite to be instilled as Manchester United manager if Erik ten Hag gets the sack. As I say, the SunSport understanding is that Southgate, as far as England goes, if he has a good Euros, which I think is anything less than a final would probably be constituted as a bad tournament, and if he has a good Euros and the mood among the country and at the FA is for him to stay, that he would like to extend. However, if Manchester United do come knocking, such a big club, a big opportunity, he would have to consider it.
Right. Yeah, you mentioned Harry Kane. We're moving on to the second one, his captaincy. You know, a lot of people talk about him and this trophy curse. You know, he's never won a major trophy. You look at him going to Bayern Munich, it looked like a shoo-in that he was going to win the Bundesliga title there. Obviously, that seems to be falling flat as well. Obviously, with Tottenham, missed out on a Champions League trophy on an international level, missed out on a Euros trophy and coming short in the World Cup as well. It just feels like it's quite, you know, some people say it's a bit uninspiring to have a leader that has not won a trophy. So the take is England need a captain who has actually won a trophy, domestic or European, or they will never be inspired to win one themselves. Happy as Gary or Gates of Hell? Go to you first, Matt.
Gates of Hell. I think Harry Kane is the best striker. He's England's all-time top striker. He's a leader. He does it on the pitch. It doesn't matter what people say about or if they say he's different. He's instrumental in the way that we play. He scores really important goals. He's a leader in that change room. And I think the players look up to him even if he hasn't won a trophy, which I am genuinely gutted that he's gone there and it doesn't look like he's going to win.
Just quickly then, Matt, in your career, just give us a flavour of the sort of captains you liked playing for. I know you played under Kevin Nolan at West Ham, who had quite a unique approach to leadership, I think it's fair to say. But anyone who's played on him often speaks really highly of the sort of camaraderie and the team spirit that he built under Allardyce for most of his career. But give us an example of what sort of captains you liked playing for.
Yeah, absolutely. He was one of them guys that, you know, if it was nothing, you know, didn't concern him as such. It was a player, he had something going on and want some help. Kev would be like, yeah, fine, I'll do it. And he would go and have a row with Sam. He'll go and have a row with whoever it was. Not for him, it would be for the player. And that's the sort of thing that you need. And he would have gone to town as well.
Gates of Hell, happy as Gary.
Happy as Gary.
Happy as Gary.
I've never been for Harry Kane to be England captain. I mean, I'm quite against in general strikers being captains. I feel like when it happened, when he got made captain, I thought at the time Henderson was a better option to be England captain. Plays week in, week out. He's captain of Liverpool. We've seen what he's done as captain of Liverpool. You can argue he's been a better captain for Liverpool than Steven Gerrard was, if you look at what he's won. And I think if you're looking at the team now, I'm looking at someone like Declan Rice. If you're looking at more experienced players, even someone like Jordan Pickford. I love Harry Kane. He's an all-time top goal scorer. I just don't think he's captain material, so.
Gareth Southgate has revealed recently that Ben White made himself unavailable for England selection. White, of course, left the camp in the Qatar World Cup amid rumours of a bust-up with Southgate's assistant, Steve Holland, which are being denied by Southgate and the England camp. He's playing the best football of his career, undoubtedly, at Arsenal. Although England do have strength in depth in that right-back slash defensive positions, White is versatile and you feel he would be an excellent addition to the squad, and certainly based on the way he's playing, would be an absolute shoo-in for the squad, if not the starting 11. Here is what Harry Redknapp had to say about the issue on TalkSport, and it's fair to say he was not happy.
I think somebody said that Gareth said the door's still open, did he? Or not?
He doesn't want anything thrown at him.
The door should be slammed right in his mush. No time at all. Don't want to play for his country. Goes to the World Cup, comes home because he's not in the team or whatever. I'm sorry, you've had your opportunity. You don't want to play for England. Go and tell the Bobby Moores of this world who got 100-odd caps, the Shiltons, the Beckhams, the Rooneys, them people. Go and tell the Billy Bonds of this world didn't get a cap and should have done, and all them great players. They don't want to play for their country. I think it's disgusting.
So, Harry Redknapp not happy there, gentlemen. So, the take is Ben White has let the nation down by making himself unavailable for England duty, and he should never be picked for the Three Lions again. Happy as Gary, Matt, or Gates of Hell? And yes, you do have to say one of the titles again. You've got chance to give yourself the nuance.
I think no one knows the situation, what's gone on, so it's really difficult to actually comment on that situation and why he's decided that he's not wanting to be called up. But for me, it's every person's dream, I think, to play for your country. If I got asked to go, I was going to cancel my wedding, you know, genuinely. Yeah. The next camp was, I can't remember what camp it was, but the dates were when I was getting married. And I sort of said to my wife-to-be, I was like, if I'm called up, I'm going. You know, that's yeah. You know, that was it. So I would have done anything to play. So, but for me, I'm happy as Gary.
A bit louder.
Yeah, you would imagine though, wouldn't you? Like you say, I mean, the suggestions that Ben White doesn't actually like football, I think that's probably been sort of taken a little bit out of context.
Yeah, like one of his teammates at Arsenal was like, this is a massive misconception. Like, yeah, he absolutely works tooth and nail for the players. It's just when he goes home, he's able to shut off from football a bit, which I actually think is a really normal thing to do. I don't know why he's a little bit more maybe celebrated for that.
Yeah, but you would think that regardless of what's true, for someone to reject an England call-up, particularly when he's playing so well for Arsenal, you would think it would have to be something fairly significant to make someone take a stand. And, as we just heard from Harry Redknapp there, Ben White would have known, turning down the call, that a lot of flack was coming his way. So you would think that there was something reasonably significant that would make him do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it's not just a, oh, yeah, I'm not going
to... I don't fancy it, I'm busy.
Yeah, yeah, I think he's actually thought about this, and there's been a lot of, you know, communication with a lot of different people to actually make this decision. So I can't imagine it was an easy one. Like, as you said, he's been outstanding and he would be a shoo-in to be in the squad.
I think Southgate was sort of asked in his press conference, you know, is it going to look like Ben White's never going to play for England while you're in charge? And he kind of gave a strange answer. It was sort of like, I hope that's not the case. It wasn't kind of like...
which sounds like, yeah, probably. Yeah.
He's left the door open.
Yeah,
it's a strange one, isn't it, Dom? What's your sort of feeling? Would you rather a happy Southgate and coaching staff or a happy Ben White?
my opinion on it is you don't give up on your country, let your country give up on you.
Right, gents. So that was 2-1 to Gates of Hell, and I really enjoyed you saying happiness, Gary. That was it for that episode. It's been great. Thank you so much, Matt Jarvis, and the wonderful Don Betts.
And thank you to you guys for tuning in. Don't forget, you can listen to this week's episode as a podcast, so make sure to follow the Tapping on all your major platforms, subscribe to Sun Sports YouTube channel, get stuck in the comments, check out the previous 9 episodes, and we'll see you after the international break.
See ya.
Woohoo! You're the Tapping!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.